The views expressed on the following program are designed to amplify those of the speaker and are not necessarily those of KAAM, KNSN, DJRD Broadcasting, Crawford Media Group, or its sponsors.
Hello, everybody!
I've got sunshine on a cloudy day. When it's cold outside, I've got the month of May.
Here's what's coming up on today's experience. Dr. Dave's Devotional Diamonds of the Day, also known as DDDDDs, where my daily devotions become some of our spiritual reflections. Sound effects placed throughout the show which have nothing to do with life. But remember, the Bible teaches there's a time to laugh. The review of the goofy news, which proves Jesus is coming back sooner than you think. Life lessons for our faith that we could actually use, probably won't if we sit on our blessed assurance. Humor that will force you to think, why does this guy have a radio show? Good question. Also, Bible trivia for fake and yet somehow real cool prizes, your phone calls, and more. Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. My name is Dr. David Spoon, and I will be your host for the next 5,400,000 milliseconds. Get ready for one of the more bizarre experiences on live radio. Here is the key to the show. We don't know what we're doing. We have no idea what's going to happen, and we don't care. But for the next few minutes, I want to talk hope with you. So here we go. We're asking questions about living life as a Christian. That thingy there. Here you go. Simple question. What is your earliest church memory? Ooh. What is your earliest church memory? If you have an opinion, a comment, a thought, or a question, please don't let it die of loneliness. That's sad. Just reach out and give us a call. 972-445-0770. That's 972-445-0770. When you call 972-445-0770, you'll end up talking to Jammin' Jacob. Talking to Jammin' Jacob is like talking to a person that you can count on.
Aww. Thank you, David. Happy Tuesday.
Happy Tuesday to you, my friend, as we get ready for our exceptional teaching in the Word of God. Not that I'm going to teach it exceptionally. It's just an exceptional portion of Scripture. Thank you very much. We do want to let you know, if you're not comfortable making the phone call, you can use your smartphone and text. You can text us at 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483, non-professional voice, always important. 214-210-8483. There you go. Additionally, you can send us an email if you want to. That's fun, too. David@hemustincrease.org. That's David, D-A-V-I-D, at hemustincrease.org, based on John 3:30. As you can tell, we're moving a little faster in our pace, and we are going right into the Scriptures. That's how we speed things up. Just ask Don about it. He had a really good idea, so I'm trying it, and I think it works really good. Bottom line is, if you are in San Diego, it's 11:35. If you're in Dallas or Fort Worth area, it's 1:35. And again, if you're on the moon, we have no idea what time it is there. Depends on, I guess, what part of the moon you're on, doesn't it? I want to get into the text and get right to it, so let's do that. We're in Matthew chapter 14. What? Matthew chapter 14, and I want you to look at with me on verse 24. What? Verse 24. If you remember last week, Jesus had sent the disciples away and said, okay, you guys go in the boat, and I'm going to be taking care of business. I'm going to spend some time with the Father, so you guys just relax and go forward and go where I'm telling you to go. Here's what the Scripture says in verse 24. Meanwhile, the disciples were in trouble far away from the land, for a strong wind had risen, and they were fighting heavy waves. We covered that a little bit last week. Here we go. About 3 o'clock in the morning, Jesus came to them walking on the water. Wow. When the disciples saw him, they screamed in terror, thinking he was a ghost. But Jesus spoke to them at once. "It's all right," he said. "I am here. Don't be afraid." Oh, I love this portion. Okay, first of all, let's catch what's taking place. The disciples are in the boat. We talked about this last week, that the waters were very difficult. Strong wind had come, powerful waves, heavy waves, and they were not doing well. And keep in mind, these are fishermen who know how the water goes. So if they're concerned about it, you know they have a right to be concerned about it, because they understand how the weather affects things and what's taking place in front of them. The disciples see Jesus, and what do? They're so brave. They've changed the world. What do when they see Jesus? Eek! It's a ghost! They screamed. When it says they cried out, that's pretty much the scream. I just want to make sure you understand that. Every other text is they screamed out of fear, they cried out of fear. I think we can get the picture, but what's taking place is the disciples are in the boat, they're having a hard time, they're strained, and they're stressed. Have you any ability to relate to being in a boat where the waves are contrary, where the winds are contrary, you're straining, you're struggling, you're trying to push through? Good thing you're trying to do that. In the midst of that, something comes up, and you just freak. He's just like, what? And what is it that happens? 3 o'clock in the morning. So we know they've been going through this for a while. It's weary. They're tired. They're scared. Obviously, they're scared since they were, what, screaming in terror. And they thought that Jesus was a ghost. Let's just start right there. Some translations say they thought he was a spirit. Okay? So I want you to get this. I want you to really catch this with me. This is a cool little thing. As we're swimming back into the story of Jesus approaching the disciples while walking on water, I've studied and read this passage way over 100 times. Way over. The insights continually emerge. In verse 28, Peter challenges Jesus, saying, "If it's really you, command me to come out to you by walking on the water." So some people will look at this and say, well, Peter is unsure if it's actually Jesus. So he tests Jesus in a certain capacity, not the way that you challenge the Lord, but he's like, I want to confirm this is you. If it's really you, get ready. Tell me to do the impossible. So let's back this up for a split second and look at this. They see Jesus. Remember, brave disciple is going to change the world, right? Eek! It's a ghost. Yes, just like the cartoons, you're thinking their ears probably shot up and their nose got really big and their head expanded. Okay, well, maybe not quite like that. But the idea is that they're freaking out because it's Jesus. And what is he doing? He's walking on the water. I got news for you. If you saw Jesus walking on the water today, the first thing you would say, because you and I operate in much more doubt, is where are the rocks? But here's Jesus walking across the sea with heavy wind and heavy waves, destroying the law of gravity, the law of every possible known physics that could exist, walking on top of water. Hey, Dave, you're not supposed to be able to walk on top of water. The only way you do that is when you walk on cement after it's rained. Yeah. And then there's Jesus walking across the water. I don't think we appreciate it because in our brains we can't maybe, I don't know, see it the way that the disciples saw it. They're out in the middle of this water, this sea. It's tremendous. It's tumultuous. It's a problem. And there comes Jesus strolling in the water, right on top of the water. They're freaking out. Now I want you to first catch what it is that Jesus does. Defies the laws of physics, gravities, and every other known universal principle that we understand as humans. That's right, as we understand as humans. And he comes walking on the water. He doesn't have a boat, doesn't have a skidoo, not doing a canoe thing where he's paddling. He's walking on the water. Did you get that? So initially they see him and they think he's a ghost. What does Jesus say when they think he's a ghost? What is it he says? He speaks to them at once and says three things. It's all right. I'm here. Don't be afraid. Those are the three things that you and I need to hear that Jesus speaks to us when we're in our own boat. And the water is really difficult, and the control of the boat is really poor, and the wind is really loud, and the waves are really big, and it's all just not going the right way. And then we need to hear Jesus saying, it's all right. That's number one. You know what? It's okay. But you don't understand, Jesus. The water's coming in the boat, and you look like a ghost, and nothing is happening the way I think it's supposed to happen, and I'm super frustrated, and I don't know what to do, and I'm just freaking out. It's all right. But. It's all right. And then he backs up, it's all right, with, I am here. Oh, baby. Listen to what Jesus says to us. I am here. That's what you need to hear him saying. You're in the boat. It's hard. It's hard to navigate. It's hard to control. Quite frankly, I would assume that the disciples are probably thinking it's hard to survive this. What's the answer? Jesus says, it's all right. I'm here. When Jesus arrives, it changes. It's just that simple. There's nothing else to it. And what's his instruction once we understand that he's there? What's the first thing he says? The same thing he says to you and I on a regular basis. What does he say yet again? Don't be afraid. Why? Why should I not be afraid? You look like a ghost. I can't control the boat. Things are getting wacky. I'm not comfortable with any of this. The reason is because fear then entertains more doubt, and doubt then pushes away from faith, and it takes faith to please God, because without faith no man will please God. For those who come to God must believe that he is, and a rewarder of those who seek him. And we need to understand that Jesus telling us, it's all right, I'm here, don't be afraid. Wow. Right? Is that just not so, just like you're looking at it going, okay, that's really good. I mean, I'm looking at this, I'm teaching this to you, and I'm telling you this is better than I am. I can't tell you any other way because the word is always better than me. So what happens after Jesus does that? It's all right. Don't be frustrated. Don't be scared, which are the main things that Christians do. They get scared and they get frustrated. I'm here. Don't be afraid. Verse 28 changes the whole world. What do you mean it changes the whole world? This changes everything. Peter called him, Lord, if it's really you, tell me to come to you by walking on the water. Now, Peter could have come up with anything. This is actually a unique thing that he came up with. Of course, I think it's inspired by the Lord. And so he says, Lord, if it's really you, if it's really you, tell me to do the impossible. Boy, it's one thing for us to sit there and think about Jesus, the Son of the living God, having the blind see and the lame walk, having people having spirits in them cast out by the voice of Jesus Christ, just by his voice, by his command, out they go. Now Peter is asking to step into that same place. What? He's asking to be told to do the impossible. Don't you love that? There's no way that can happen. Yeah, God loves that when people do that. That's impossible. So tell me to do it and I'll do it. Lord, if it's really you, tell me to come to you walking on the water. Peter's response is remarkable. I have to say, this is one of the things that really caught my attention. He asks Jesus to command him to walk on the water, essentially requesting that Jesus empower him to accomplish the impossible. He's asking, hey, empower me to do this impossible thing you're doing. That's something that Jesus, only you can do. Only if it's really you, help me to do it. The bold statement from Peter is a testament to his courage. It communicates his belief that he would recognize Jesus if he was asked to perform an act beyond his own capacity. Isn't that cool? I mean, that's cool. Come on. I don't care what you say. I mean, that's cool. All right. Take a deep breath. Wasn't that cool? I just love stuff like that. All right. All right. Deep breath. Okay. Ready for your first trivia question. Okay? Ready for your first trivia question. If you guys don't get this, I'm taking my ball. I'm going home. Okay? That's it. All right. Who was Moses' brother? Was it Aaron, Jethro, or Joshua? Who was Mo's bro? Who was Mo's bro? If you think you know who Mo's bro was, in fact, 972-445-0770. That would be the number to call. 214-210-8483. That would be the text. And then you can also send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. Now, I'm going to send you up to the website. I didn't do that earlier because I'm doing it right now. And here's what I want to tell you on the website that we're going to send you up there for. It's this simple. On the website, there's cool stuff, encouraging words, encouraging videos, encouraging articles, because encouraging is kind of how we live. The bottom line is there's also a place for you to partner with us in the giving process. If you don't want to give, don't. Or if you can't give with a good heart, don't give it here. I don't want bad money. I want joyful giving. If you're able to give a dollar, God bless you. If you're able to give $1,000, God bless you. If you're able to give $10,000, God bless you. Whatever it is, we'll do our best to use it for the glory of God and to maintain and further the ministry. So we're asking you to check stuff out on the website. Our scripture, by the way, for today, because we try to give a scripture with what we're doing, and that's 2 Corinthians 8:3. I testify according to their ability and beyond their ability. They gave of their own accord. If you can give, that's great. If you can't, that's great. But check out the website, hemustincrease.org.
Prayer request?
HeMustIncrease.org.
Praise report?
HeMustIncrease.org.
Looking to give to this ministry?
HeMustIncrease.org.
Confused by what's happening right now?
HeMustIncrease.org.
HeMustIncrease.org.
I just said that to Noelle last night.
She understood you word for word.
Yeah. That's part of the problem, though, isn't it? That she did understand me word for word? That's the scariest part. It's like, okay, well, all right. I guess one mind, one accord really does work. Okay, so the trivia question, who was Mo's bro? Who was Moses' brother? Was it Aaron? Was it Jethro? Or was it Joshua? Your answer, of course, is in Exodus 4:14. If you think you know the answer, you can reach out to us. I'll give you the number a little slower for those who need it to be a little slower. Ready? Okay, I'll do it again. All right, or 972-445-0770. You can also text in 214-210-8483. Additionally, you can send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. Let me check in with my buddy Jacob. So that we did a faster intro. That wasn't bad, though, right? Just seemed pretty smooth, right? Yeah.
Yeah. Yep.
Got to
no problems.
To 2 minutes earlier than normal.
Yeah. Went great.
Yeah. Don should be happy. That's all I'm going to say. All right. Let's go back to it. So you can either answer a trivia question, just listen, then we'll give the answer. I want to go back to this story because this is, of all the things in the scripture, this is one of the great, 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 great stories. So Peter says, if it's you, command me, tell me to come out and walk on the water. Tell me to do the impossible, Jesus. Jesus' response in verse 29, everybody should know this response was coming. Here's Jesus' response. All right. It's like, he's like, if you're looking for an invitation from the Lord, it's not always going to come with trumpets and fanfare. Sometimes the Lord goes, okay. That's it. That's it. You don't have to make it any bigger than that. So Jesus goes, all right, come on out. Water's fine. Check it out, right? So I attribute this to Jesus giving an okie dokie because, you know, that's how I talk. And so he says, all right, come out. So here's the next verse, and it's very important to understand this, or the rest of that verse. It says, so Peter went over the side of the boat and walked on the water towards Jesus. Okay? There is something you must understand. In response, Jesus encourages Peter with an okie-dokie, come on, water's great. This prompts Peter to step over the side of the boat, indicating his readiness to act upon Jesus' word. Can we just take the moment, be in the boat with Peter when Peter makes this unbelievable proclamation? Yeah, if it's you, tell me and I'll come out and walk on the water right to you. And Jesus goes, okay. And then Peter takes that leg and puts it over the side of the boat. Wow. Talk about a step of faith. It is unequivocally stated in every recorded Greek text, everyone, over 15,000 manuscripts, which, by the way, the Gilead writing only has 634 historical testaments. The New Testament has 15,000, and that 634 is the second most. The first most is the New Testament. And every one of those texts says the exact same thing. Peter walked on the water. Period. Jesus wasn't the only one who could walk on water. Peter did it too. I want you to hear what I'm saying. Peter did the absolute impossible because of Jesus. How can you ever get through? How can I ever get across? How can I ever get there? How can I ever pay for this? How will this relationship ever do this? How will this thing ever come about? How will this healing ever happen? How will any of this ever happen? Because of Jesus, who can do on a constant basis and does the impossible. So Peter walked on the water. How many people walked on water? Two. Jesus and Peter. What's amazing is he couldn't sustain it because he took his focus off of Jesus. Oh, see, this is us right here. We live here. So Peter went over the side of the boat and walked on the water towards Jesus. Verse 30, but he looked around at the high waves, and he was terrified and began to sink. Save me, Lord, he shouted. Wow. He did so good when he started, didn't he? He got out of the boat, walking on the water. How cool is that? But he looked around. The Bible says we walk by faith and not by sight. When we walk by sight, we sink. Just it. There's nothing else. You're oversimplifying. This is not oversimplifying. This is what the text says. He looked around at the high waves and was terrified. Because when we look around, outside of looking at Jesus, and we look at everything else, fear enters the picture. Remember, Jesus said, don't be afraid. When fear enters, doubt enters. When doubt enters, there's a lack of faith. Oh, my goodness. What happened to Peter? He's screaming to be saved. Save me, Lord! Verse 31, instantly Jesus reached out his hand and grabbed him. Oh. Instantly Jesus reached out his hand and grabbed him. You don't have much faith, Jesus said. Why did you doubt me? We start off with this power faith. We can do it. I'm walking on water. I am doing the impossible. Well, I'm in Dallas and San Diego both. Wow, we're doing the impossible. Then you take your eyes off of the Lord and you sink. By the grace of God, Jesus, so close to each one of us, reaches out his hand and grabs Peter. It doesn't say Jesus flew over like a ghost, like Casper. He was so close to Peter, he just grabbed him. I gotcha. And then he says, you don't have much faith, do you? Why did you doubt? He doubted because he took his eyes off of Jesus and he looked all the way around, just like we do in our situation, looking all the way around. Because you know what? We always come up with a way to give the answer when the answer was just to keep the focus on Jesus. How cool is this story? I'm sorry. How awesome is this story? How awesome is it that we understand that Jesus still rescued him, even though he started off with faith and then kind of blew it? Jesus, so close, still rescues. But what a lesson to keep our eyes on Jesus. The trivia question, who was Mo's bro? The answer, was it Aaron, Jethro, or Joshua? And the answer is Aaron. All right, if you're in San Diego, you can keep listening to the show by going to hemustincrease.org. Click on Listen Live. If you're in Dallas, hang out. We're going to be back in just a moment. Everybody, don't go anywhere.
The Christian faith is being attacked. 50 years ago, people would disagree with Christianity, but with a sense of respect. Those days are over. The rage, the flesh, the enemy, and the atmosphere of sin is growing and growing. Jesus said in Matthew 24, "The love of many will grow cold." And if it's not the end now, it's certainly a lot closer than it was yesterday. You may be from a Baptist background. David Spoon has that. You may have a Pentecostal background. He has that too. You may have a non-denominational background. Yep, he's got that as well. You may be from the Church of Christ, Presbyterian, Methodist, Church of God, or some other denomination. But if you're looking for a show that's Bible-based, Spirit-led, and a bit nutty, give David a listen for a while. If you like it, great. If not, no worries. The David Spoon Experience.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
Hey, jingity-jing, it's Dominic the Donkey, jingity-jing, the Italian Christmas Donkey, la, 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 la.
Oh, that is...
La, 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 la.
You asked for zany, my friend.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. So we, being not completely unlike... You know, Christmas Vacation in Chevy Chase and so on and so forth. We got a really big tree, slapped it up on the car. Of course, it scratched the car to no end. Remember, I'm Jewish and I'm trying to follow the Christmas holiday. It's got nothing to do with my Christianity. I like Christmas. I like the season and so on and so forth. I have no problem celebrating any specific time, picking a time, and we're as close as we can be celebrating the birth of Christ. It's awesome. It's a great time of year. But you're talking about me fighting a tree, and I'm fighting the tree, and I'm fighting the tree, and I hack off a few branches. And unfortunately, what I hacked off with the axe wasn't enough, because I was right there again, holding the Christmas tree with my feet on the door, trying to pull it in. Hey, you know what? The Christmas tree was not coming in. So you know what I did? I hacked off a few more pieces. But then, instead of just trying to pull the tree in, I hacked off a few more pieces. By this point, I have decided that Christmas is a pagan holiday that only people who are supporting Christmas presents have created, and Jewish people who believe in Jesus should not be celebrating Christmas, and I'm crashing the tree, and I've got the axe up, and I'm crushing it, and I'm going to get this tree in, and you would not believe it, but after doing that for 15 minutes, I still could not get the tree in the house.